to you, and grace and hope and peace be with you always. I welcome you here to session 8 of the letter to the Philippians with Paul and his writings to this beloved community. And so today I want to ask you that question: what is your favorite Old Testament story and why? When you think about the Hebrew Scriptures, what is an Old Testament story that grabs you, maybe garners your attention, speaks to your soul? One of the stories for me is of Jacob and his wrestling with angels, and how he is renamed after that time of wrestling and saying, "I will not let you go until you bless me," yearning for the blessing. And yes, he receives it, but he walks the rest of his life with a limp as he was hit in his hip socket to remind him of that time of wrestling. I think that's so much of life, that we wrestle. Yes, in faith, we wrestle with angels, we wrestle with each other, we wrestle with the messages of the world, and God is there, and God is speaking in the midst of it. Well, spend some time this week thinking about that story and maybe flipping back to those pages and reading that story anew to see how God speaks. Well, first century Jewish people, they had an understanding of the temple. The understanding there was of Exodus and the temple and Jesus being executed at Passover, all of that wrapped around that. Well, the Exodus from Egypt is core to that development, where God rescued them and freed them from that time of bondage and slavery and took them to the promised land. And there were two outcomes of that. One, that there was the Torah, or the law, that was given to them in that time of movement into the promised land. And there was the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, the tent where God would speak, God would dwell, have an indwelling with them. Well, as we read these words today, and as we wrap our minds around what Paul and his understanding maybe of that Jewish community and now this first century Christian community is, I think you'll see how that begins to play out. And so the verses we're going to do today is from Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. And the title of this section is Shining as Lights in the World. And the words are this: "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me." So these words of fear and trembling, or working out of salvation, what does Paul mean by this work out their salvation? At times we maybe have understood it to say we have to earn it, or we have to somehow figure it out. And yes, there is a figuring out, but it's not an earning. It is a working out. Or another way to say it is letting it have its working in our living. So it's a flowing through us, where we are transformed and where we put into practice God's will. But this goes back to all the verses prior to this, where Paul had that understanding, putting on the mind of Christ, unity and holiness, all of those things combined. So a discerning, a listening, a sitting together. And as you develop that mind of the Messiah, the mind of Christ, you ask, how then are you to live? And your salvation is in Jesus, so you think it through him. Everything flows through, passes through Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. And ultimately, that is then what a, quote, holy life would look like. So we work it out. We let it have its working in our living, transformed and putting into practice God's will. And for Paul, he thinks about this holiness and why it matters when he writes here that God is at work among you. God's in the midst of the community. It's tangibly visible. You can see it. You can taste it. You can experience it always. And for Paul, too, there wasn't this mindset that, for example, heaven was light years away. No, with this understanding of the temple, a dwelling place of God, Paul took that, and now there's an interaction of heaven and earth, and those are brought together in the here and now, where God is indwelling within the community. And even more specifically, the temple is now you. You are the new temple where God resides, which means God is always on the move. That temple work then of the Spirit and of God and as Jesus is within your body. Can you see that? Yeah, Paul wants this to be intimate and personal and connected. Fear and trembling is taking place not because you're scared, but because the holiness is within. God is in this place. And we are to take that seriously. And so with your struggles and the things that you wrestle with in life and the things that you are challenged by, yes, fear and trembling, not again being overwhelmed, but to say, God is in this place. And I think even in this pandemic time, my goodness, the power of a letter like this for us to understand God is in this place, meaning within every human being. And yes, you can feel terribly alone. And at the same time, God is in this place, which means you are not alone. You are not lost. You are not forsaken. And we want to take that seriously and begin to ask, God, if you are in this place, if you are in this temple of my body, in my life, then how is it that I can live? How can I make my way through this challenge? Fear and trembling. You see, Paul encourages the church to live this in these words here, we're pure and spotless in the middle of this twisted and depraved generation. Well, what does he mean there? Well, he's saying you're the new Exodus generation, folks. You're it. And you don't want to go about grumbling like they did back in the Exodus story, where even though God had freed them from that time of enslavement, moving them to the promised land, what did they do in the Exodus story? They grumbled and complained and said, we had it better back there than we have it right now. To which Moses wanted to cry out, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're now complaining that you want to go back and be enslaved? You want to live in the midst of that empire that was crushing you in a world that did not look like the kingdom of God on earth at all? Is that what you really want? Well, here, you're the new and Exodus generation. And so don't grumble and move backwards, but move forward in faith. To which he says, you are to shine in the world. This is a genuine way to be human, to recognize that our humanity is precious and it's fragile, and that we don't want to ever destroy that aspect. But then we go steps into that and say, this morality that we've lived in our world and how it's often been taught throughout religion, is morality is to squash people, to get people to stop doing certain things and to maybe even be overwhelmed by that, to diminish somebody or to lessen somebody. Whereas we would want to say, no, that's not how Paul speaks about this. He's saying, yes, there are guidelines, but these guidelines are for genuine humanness. And the most genuine human that you can be is to shine bright with the light of Christ within the temple, within your body. And as you do that, you are going to show people that there is a new and better way to be Christian. There's a new and better way to be in this world. You see, before we had videos and internet searches and all kinds of books and teaching formats offered in a myriad of ways where you can find any information anywhere for whatever you may want to hear at any given time. In the early centuries, most became Christian. Most became Jesus followers because they saw real, abundant life within them. They saw it in that community, within those people. They were radiating a different kind of life. And so evangelism, if we use that word, it was one-to-one. It was story-to-story. It was getting to know somebody where they saw light and they said, how do I join that? I want to live that way. I want to experience that in the here and now. I want heaven and earth to be joined. I want the world to be able to see and experience it. I want the world to shine bright with this light of life. And this ties in, folks, to our worship series we're doing. If you haven't had a chance, go to YouTube and check out our worship series on abundant light and life. We're talking about this kind of stuff. Because for these first followers, it was to hold on to the word of life. That's the language in verse 16. Hold fast to the word of life. The word of life is the gospel. The word of life is incarnate in Jesus. The word of life is in the death and resurrection story and how that changes everything and how it changes the world. Here is the light in the midst of darkness. That is the word. Here is the light in the midst of darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And no matter how dark the world may seem, a situation might seem, there is a way that we still can live. And the light can enter into that place. And yes, it can change things. It can transform every person and every situation. And at the end of this section, Paul says, as a servant of this God. He's saying none of this is going to be in vain, no matter what happens. And he's pointing back to the beginning of the letter and saying, you know, bad things still may happen. I may not get my freedom like I had before. I may be poured out as an offering here. But he's saying it's not in vain, folks. It's not in vain. And so he says, here is the work. The work is a united and holy people. And when there are united and holy people shining with the light of Christ within their life, renewing the face of the world, renewing their community, renewing lives, this is the sign that this work wasn't a waste of time. Today, I think many people wonder, what difference does our work make? What difference does the church make in the world? What difference? Are things any better? Are things moving in the right direction? Do we just throw on the towel and give up? And Paul would say, not if there's a united and holy people who are working out with fear and trembling the salvation within them and the holiness that they're called to live as they share that. And so we keep going. And Paul doesn't take it for granted. He's very humble in that regard. And so he would end here by saying, you know, no matter what, keep your focus on Jesus, even if the cost is great, because there will be a rejoicing together as God brings this to bear in our life. And so this is a small section, but a mighty section of us working with God here in the world. So a few questions for you as I send you out for today. Where do you need to experience the empowering presence of God in a fresh way? Where do you need to experience the empowering presence of God in a fresh way? Number two, in a culture that values vulnerability and honesty, how do we avoid falling into grumbling and complaining? In a culture that values vulnerability and honesty, how do we avoid falling into grumbling and complaining? And three, a drink offering was a gift given to God that was poured out, but not wasted. So what can you do this week to make your life that kind of gift to God and others? Again, a drink offering was a gift given to God that was poured out but not wasted. What can you do this week to make your life that kind of gift to God and others? Well, blessings to each and every one of you. Take good care of yourself as you continue to walk with Paul in the Philippian community and with those around you. Be well. Take care.